Welcome to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast. In this series, you will hear from a wide array of voices who came together in 2023 to build a global movement for local economies worldwide. This episode features Andrew Sims. A political economist and environmentalist, Andrew is at the forefront of the movement for a new economy in the UK and the world. His books include Cancel the Apocalypse, Tescopoli, How One Shop Came Out on Top and Why It Matters, and Economics, A Crash Course. He is coordinator of the New Weather Institute, the Rapid Transition Alliance, and the Badvertising Campaign. He is also a fellow at the New Economics Foundation and research associate at the Centre for Global Political Economy, University of Sussex. From Planet Local Voices, here's Andrew Sims.
I think one of the biggest problems that we have is that we've lost sight of what the purpose of the economy is. In the drift towards the global and the disconnection that's involved in that, and the loss of an understanding between what are the consequences of the way that we run the global economy, one of our greatest challenges is how we reconnect. And where do we reconnect? We reconnect at the local level. By being involved at the local level and by thinking about how we do the economy locally, we suddenly become much more aware of the consequences of how we put food on our table, you know, how we create jobs, how we make things. So at the local level, we become more in connection with each other. We become more aware of the processes of production and supply and consumption. So we can see where things go wrong much sooner. The feedback loop is much more immediate. So if we are making a mess of our countryside because of the way that we're farming, if we are creating working conditions which are intolerable and, you know, undermine people's well-being, we see it. Whereas under the global model, it's too easy to insulate yourself from the consequences of how the world does business. So getting local is about getting real. It's about reconnecting. And of course, then we could also have a better understanding of whether or not we're living within the tolerance levels of our ecology, of our biosphere. Because if we mess things up on our own doorstep, we see it and we're going to respond to that. So relocalizing is about far more than just some sort of quaint idea of neighborhood production. It's about putting the economy back in the heart of communities and how we live, and seeing on a day-to-day basis whether we're getting closer to being able to come up with a system which will allow everybody to thrive within planetary boundaries, or whether we're living hopelessly beyond our means and running the economy in such a way that we're running people into the ground.
Economic growth has been a clarion call for the onwards march of the global system. Andrew unpacks what growth actually is and how it's measured, touching on the work he's done in developing more holistic indicators of economic and societal well-being.
The subject of growth is such a strange one. It's almost odd that we're still having to have a conversation about it, because in the very earliest days of economics, over 200 years ago, there was an understanding that a country might expand its economy for a certain time, but then it would reach maturity. You'd have produced all the stuff that you needed. And the only ways in which you would grow beyond that is not with more material accumulation, more things, more stuff, but in other ways, through sort of culture, enlightenment even. And yet, somehow along the way, that got lost, and especially with the invention of national income accounting, GMP, GDP. By coming up with a simple indicator, politicians became obsessed with it. And it's only really much more recently, in the last few decades, that we've become so obsessed with an indicator that, to quote a speech that is now over 50 years old, given by Bobby Kennedy, the problem with growth is that it measures everything apart from that which makes life truly worthwhile. You know, it measures all the consumption. It measures all the spending we do defensively because there's pollution, because there's crime, because there's broken families. So we've known since the beginning of economics that we should not fixate on growth. And in fact, even the guy Kuznets, Simon Kuznets, the economist who invented it, said, whatever you do with this indicator of national income, don't let it become your guiding light for whether your economy is being successful or not. And of course, what we need, and in some of the work that I've been involved in over the decades, is truly meaningful indicators which do tell you whether you're making life better for people whilst operating within planetary boundaries. As for example, we gave it a sort of a simple name, but we came up with a thing called the Happy Planet Index, where you measure, if you like, the ecological efficiency with which you deliver relatively long and happy lives. And of course, once you do that, the economy looks very different, and the things that you do more and less of look very different. And as an interesting result that came when we did this research, which we did not predict in advance, that the places around the world that came out best in the Happy Planet Index were very often small island states in all the different global regions. And we may speculate about why that is, but one of the reasons about why perhaps you might live more within your environmental limits is because they're that much more obvious. And very often small island states have more cooperative economies. There's a lesson there about doing things exactly the opposite of the way the mainstream economy works, which is generally selfish, competitive individualism. Whereas the future of a more sustainable economy is cooperative, doing things together and with recognition of our environmental limits. So it's kind of crazy that we're still having to have this debate about we should ditch growth as a measure of economic success, because we've known from the beginning that it was the wrong thing to do. And there are better ways of measuring whether your economy is doing good stuff, like making better lives for people in such a way that respects nature and leaves space for everybody else and every other living thing as well.
Andrew also looks at the reality of the global growth economy today, how it has played out, and whether or not it has really delivered good jobs and prosperity.
One of the big lies about why growth is necessary is that people will tell you that you need growth for poverty alleviation. Now, the way that growth operates, it's operated in tandem with a real negative redistribution of wealth and income. So the benefits of growth, the wealth from growth, has been captured by an ever smaller minority of people, and ever larger amounts of the population are having to live with the damaging consequences of growth, whether that's pollution, whether that's climate change, whether that's system collapse, the extreme weather associated with global heating, or whether it's to do with the gig economy, where people, just in order to make ends meet, are having to do multiple jobs under appalling conditions with great insecurity. So the way, the model that's being used to deliver growth has been making life significantly worse for an awful lot of people who are not at the top of the pile, while an ever smaller number of people have captured that benefit. And at the same time, we've been destroying the basic conditions for life that everybody relies upon. So growth has been misdirecting us. It's benefited a tiny minority, and it set us on a suicidal economic path for everybody at the aggregate level.
Finally, Andrew highlighted the way the economy itself is a construct, the consequence of certain decisions that have been made according to specific political priorities. And he stresses how we as a society could make very different decisions about our economy, with very different outcomes for people and planet.
Two really important points: that sometimes economics, mainstream economics, is presented almost as if it's the product of the laws of nature rather than of very specific decisions made by people whose self-interest is largely driving how things are at the moment. So the way the economy works at the moment is wholly perverse. The jobs which probably do the most damage and bring the least social benefit, whether it's kind of financiers or advertising, people get paid the most. The jobs which bring the most social value, whether that's recycling, hospital cleaning, teaching children, get paid the least. So we've got a wholly perverse And of course, we don't price the damage that the economy does to our life support system, our natural life support system, into it. So all the wrong signals are happening within the economy. But those are the results of human decisions. And those human decisions can be reversed. And I think what's important for people to remember, because it's, you know, it's been said so often that it's almost easier to imagine the end of the world than it is a change to the economic system. But we're living through a time when, even in our own recent experience, whether you think about the time of the financial crisis in 2007-2008 or the pandemic that people lived through, we've demonstrated that we can change not just economic policy but the layout of our towns and cities, that we can revalue the kind of work that people do and shift economic purpose, change what companies are producing almost overnight when the will is there. During the pandemic, we did things like take, Formula One engineers who were making super fast cars were switched to making low cost breathing aids overnight. Street homelessness in Britain was ended for a period of time. We showed that we could do that. We changed our working patterns. We gave local town centre areas, which had been overwhelmed with traffic, we gave it back to people and to cyclists and to local businesses who could then sort of put their tables, the restaurants could put their tables out on the streets. We've shown that when the moment is there and when there is a political consensus, that we can do extraordinary things. We can put public health, we can put nature, we can put our own well-being before short-term economic interest. And of course, once we know that, that's very dangerous knowledge, because there's no reason not to do it. So we need to switch the wholly perverse economic indicators and tools that we have at the moment. And we need to know that we can make these changes and that we can produce economies in which everybody can thrive within planetary boundaries, and that we can rip up that sort of economics of death, the suicide ticket that our current system has been writing for itself. And we can do it now because we've shown we can.
That interview was recorded in September 2023 at the Planet Local Summit in Bristol, UK. To get notified about new episodes, subscribe to our channel or sign up to our mailing list via localfutures.org. Also find on our website a vast collection of resources for education and big picture activism to shift the economy from global to local. And of course, we hope you'll tune in to other inspiring thinkers and movement leaders featured on the Planet Local Voices series. Until next time, thanks for listening to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast.